first order of business today, first of all, thanks everybody for coming, is to approve the minutes from last June. So, who was here that can vote?
There was.
Senator Metzen.
Okay. So, Senator Daines, I think, was.
Oh.
Yeah. You'll move the minutes?
So moved.
All right. Any discussion of the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of adopting the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Minutes are adopted. Second, we have two subcommittees of this committee, one of which I think we've already made the appointments to, which is the employee relations. The other one, I think, I'm not sure we've made appointments yet, but we need to get those set up. So the first one is on the Legislative Coordinating Commission. We have the resolution here. A few changes. Basically, the main one is that the chair switches from the House to the Senate, from Senate to the House, and you can see that it expands the scope a little bit, including other laws related to the state employee compensation. Is there any discussion or questions about the first resolution? Well, can someone move it first?
I'll move.
All right, Representative Carlson moves the motion, the resolution. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of adopting the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion prevails. The second, will Representative Carlson will also move the resolution establishing the committee's LCC subcommittee on administrative rules. Representative Carlson moves that resolution. Any discussion on that resolution? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That resolution is adopted. Next, we have a salary roster. Do you want to come to the stand and just run through that for us? Welcome.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. The next two sheets in your packets are the salary rosters. The first is for the joint legislative offices, including the LCC, the library, the library statutes, and such smaller commissions. Salaries for these folks have remained basically the same since July of 2008, except for positions where the incumbent terminated service and was replaced by a lower-paid employee. We've had a couple of other positions where they were reclassed, but I think that's limited to about two. The second sheet is the salary roster for the legislative auditor. Those salaries are also the same, except for a few positions that have been reclassified.
Any questions on those two salary rosters? Can I have a motion?
Chairman, I'll move the approval. Do you want to take them one at a time or both at one?
I think we can do them at once.
Okay, I'll move the adoption of both salary schedules.
Any further discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion is adopted. Lastly, Mr. Hubinger, on the proposed changes to the legislative plan for employee benefits and policies. Representative Carlson will move adoption of that, of these proposed changes, and then Mr. Hubinger.
Mr. Chair, members, this plan establishes health insurance and vacation and sick leave policies for members and staff across the legislature. There's a staff group that monitors this plan and proposes changes to it to conform with changes in state law to have us comply with MMB on their changes to the health insurance package, which the legislature purchases. And then there are a number of minor technical changes that staff are proposing. There are only two substantive changes. One is on voting leave, where we're complying with changes in state law. And then the second is a set of changes to the insurance package to comply with changes that MMB negotiated with the exclusive bargaining units and will be in contracts that will be in effect for this calendar year, and we need to comply with that.
Okay, and there is a, Senator Hand, there is a resolution just for members in the very back of your packet dealing with this that clarifies that those changes don't go into effect unless those contracts are adopted.
Exactly.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of questions. On page 30 of the draft of the book, at least on the copy that I got, talking about eligible dependents, and there's language that current language is that it says that spouse, if not legally separated, and that has been changed to the appropriate paragraph to say if legally married. And I'm just wondering what the financial effect of that change is.
Mr. Huber.
According to the staff from MNB, there's no fiscal impact of that change.
Senator Hanks.
It seems like it possibly would, because it would seem that what we're saying is that if you are married and separated now, you do not have a spousal relationship that requires any obligation under the contract, but after the change, there would be. So it would seem to me there would be people who would be covered under the contract that are not currently, and that would seem to have some financial impact, but you could be wrong.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Nathan Rocco. I'm the Director of the Employee Insurance Division. Senator Hand, this was actually just part of our overall language changes that was necessitated because of the dependent audit that was passed by the legislature in 2009. So it was simply a means of clarifying that in order to be covered under the plan, it had to be a marriage that was recognized by the state of Minnesota. Where we knew we were going to potentially run into some issues where different types of quote-unquote marriage arrangements or living arrangements are recognized throughout the country, whether it be a domestic partner or whether it be folks that live together. And so this was simply to just get us in line with that dependent audit. But it didn't change what we were expecting in terms of who was eligible and who was not.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, one other question. Try to find the part of the booklet that has the changes in the insurance schedules, whatever that is.
Page
43. 43 is that charts. And it looks like in a number of cases there are some changes. The office co-pays, for example, we're increasing those. Co-insurance for MRI and CT scans is going up. Emergency room. Looks like there's some changes in the obligations of employees under the new contract that would possibly result in some savings to the state. And just wondering what the effect of that would be on, say, the budget of the Senate, for example. What's the net effect of those changes in insurance costs?
Mr. Chair and Senator Hahn, so the changes in aggregate to the entire CGIT pool, which is all of government, it's all three branches of government, as well as some quasi-agencies like historical society, boards, things like that. So our entire pool is 50,000 lives. I'm not sure, I don't recall offhand what the Senate's portion of that might be, but that total savings, if we were to implement it back last January 1st, would have been roughly $7 million to the plan. Obviously, these contracts haven't been ratified yet, which is why we are unable to implement these copay changes. So once we do, we would anticipate something close to $7 million, but obviously as the months go on, we're not going to achieve that full $7 million. Be happy to prepare some estimate in terms of proportionally what the Senate may save as a result of that.
And would that be $7 million over a calendar year? Is that, and so if we implemented it right away, then it would be $7 million for roughly for the 2013 calendar year? Roughly.
It really depends on there are some people who receive services under the lower copay plan and will not go back to the doctor for the rest of the year, so we will never make those dollars up. Others will come back and essentially will pay roughly the same amount, even though the plan design changes mid-year.
And Mr. Chair, if I could just ask you, if you do have that ability to break it out to show us what the effect would be on the individual budgets of the legislature, I appreciate it.
Okay. Happy to do that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the other thing, as long as we're breaking that out, is you probably know this answer, but how much are the premiums going to go? The employer side of the premiums going to go?
So, Mr. Chair and Senator Bach, so premiums for 2013 did go up approximately 12.5%. Okay, so when depending on to the extent that this saves money upwards of $7 million, we will then offset those savings for for the 2014 premium. So at this time, we're projecting roughly 9.5%, and we have been closer to about 10% prior to these plan design changes going in. So it's worth roughly a half to 1% savings on the premiums.
Sure.
Yeah,
what effect does that that copay going up from $18 to whatever it is, $26? What does that cost the employees per year? And the rates still go up with that offset, 12.5%, even adding $4 or $5 per visit on the copay. And they still go up 12.5%.
Mr. Chair and Senator Metzen, yes, the premiums and the copays are independent of one another. So everyone's premium will go up 12.5%, and then to the extent that you incur services, then you will pay, you know, the increased copay. If you're asking for an approximate, I don't have that. You know, we could take maybe the average state employee and what that cost increase may be. I don't have that now. We did prepare that as part of our bargaining process. I'd be happy to share the sort of the average impact to a state employee, which of course the legislature would be a part of.
Chairman, they're all dollars.
They're all dollars.
So somebody, I mean, it just doesn't make sense that I mean.
Further discussion.
Well, Mr. Chair, part of the reason that we're seeing such a steep health insurance increase is the premiums have not been adjusted, right? I mean, didn't we go a couple of years without adjusting premiums? Because we just rolled over the contract. So really the 12.5% we're seeing is not a one-year increase. It factors in inflation over, and Mr. Chair, staff can correct me, is it over 3 years or more?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Senator Bach, yes. I think under a traditional contract cycle, we had three prior years of zero. So that 12.5% on three zeros, relatively speaking, is not as great as what the industry would have normally have seen. But because of the delay in the contract implementation, and we knew that we could go with a zero in 2012, and we didn't want to complicate the contracting process itself. So we felt it was better to go with a zero and then make it up once we knew the contracts were going to come in place in 2013.
Mr. Chair, if we don't take the copay increases and the co-insurance increases, you said we had a 12.5% increase. What would it be if we don't take those? What kind of an increase?
Mr. Chair and Senator, it's like I said, it's approximately 1%. We're about a $600 million program, so you figure 1% is worth about $6 million. So it's plus or minus 1%.
Thank you. Discussion. Okay, so Representative Carlson has moved this resolution, LCC-3, related to the terms of the booklet here. Alan? Yes, Senator Hand.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, just a question on the resolution.
Yes.
The budget implication of adopting the contract, as I understand it, the resolution is saying that we're going to make changes with respect to the booklets and so forth, assuming the contracts are adopted. What is that total effect going to be? Is there a dollar amount that we're going to be adding into the budget as a result of that? And
Mr. Chair and Senator Hamm, as employers, the Senate and the House and the LCC are already bearing the employer cost of the premium increase that went into effect January 1st. The changes that are incorporated in the benefit work are co-pays and deductibles that affect the employee side.
Okay. All right, seeing no further discussion, Representative Carlson renews his motion to adopt resolution LCC-3. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. That motion prevails. Any other business? Seeing none, we're adjourned.
Thanks for having me.